The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KAOS 89.3 FM, Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Well, greetings to you, haha. This is the Thunderbolt for October 16th, 2020. And here at the Thunderbolt, we try to find the upside to the downside here on the underside, and beside that aside, we are strolling astride history. Since I will be airing replays for the next couple of weeks, this will be the last new show before the 2020 presidential election. And so I will be sharing a few thoughts on that subject in part two of this week's show. But first, I would like to share some of the pros and cons of hitchhiking. According to Mark Twain, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. And many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Well, I heartily endorse Mr. Twain's observation. And in the course of my life, I have hitchhiked all over North America, literally more times than I can count. Hitchhiking was a much more common mode of travel back before everyone became so paranoid about each other. And while I haven't hitched in decades, and while I don't know how easy or hard it is to get rides these days, now that everyone has become so paranoid about each other, back in the day, if you were young and if you were seeking a very low-budget adventure, full of educational opportunities and unique experiences, then I would have highly recommended a hitchhiking tour of North America. For one thing, it was very cheap. You could literally cross the country with almost no money. I know because I did it several times. In addition, every day is completely different from every other day, and you never know what's gonna happen next. You often get more life experience in a single day hitchhiking
than you do in months of living on a schedule, doing the same thing over and over again. And another cool thing about hitchhiking is that you can often get guided tours of local areas. You would also meet every kind of person you can imagine, and quite a few you probably could not imagine. And the relationship is quite unique in that it is very personal, as you are sitting in a car with the person, sometimes for hours or even days, yet it is very anonymous, as you both know that you are very unlikely to ever see each other again. And due to that paradigm, I have had people dump on me and tell me a whole bunch of things that probably their best friends did not know about them. But there are, of course, some downsides. And in fact, my last hitchhiking trip included one too many instances of standing in the rain for 8 hours trying to get a ride, which was largely why that turned out to be my last hitchhiking trip. I lived on magic, though, and that always worked. And so overall, the benefits of my chosen lifestyle so outweighed the downsides that those downsides weren't even really a consideration. I am also fully conscious of the fact that I managed to live my life in probably one of the only times and one of the only places in all of human history where I could have gotten away with living the life that I led. In spite of all that, I probably would not have recommended cross-country hitchhikes to lone women. Not for any sexist reason, but because it is probably much more dangerous. Though over the years I did meet two ladies who had done distance hitchhiking alone, both of them explained that a lot of people would pick them up who normally would not pick up people simply because they were women and feared for their safety. Now, I don't have any actual numbers, but I suspect it is much more dangerous to pick up hitchhikers than it is to hitchhike. And anecdotally, I never met anyone who was assaulted whilst hitchhiking, whereas I have known one person who was robbed by a hitchhiker, and a female friend of mine was once raped by a hitchhiker. So I'm not saying that serious shite never happens. What I am saying is that it doesn't happen nearly as often as most people think or have been led to believe. I have picked up hundreds of hitchhikers, and I have hitched thousands of rides. And while I several times found myself in sketchy situations, I only once felt true fear. And even in that instance, that fear eventually evaporated due to the perceived threat, literally passing out from drunkenness. Besides that, sketchy situations often make for a more exciting life. And there's often a lot to learn about both life and about yourself in dealing with such situations. Whatever, hitchhiking in late 20th century America was both a very inexpensive method of travel and a great source of adventure. The best ride I ever got was with a rich doctor and his spectacularly beautiful girlfriend. They picked me up because they saw me playing a guitar beside the road. And both the doctor and his girlfriend also played guitar. And that ride lasted for 3 days, and I ended up 50 miles further away from where I was going than when we started. Part of that ride was in an airplane following whales around off the coast of Oregon. On the other hand, the scariest ride I ever got was the one previously mentioned. This was when I was picked up by three Native American women who were all very nice and very friendly until they started drinking a bottle of whiskey, whereupon they quickly thereafter became decidedly less nice and decidedly less friendly. And soon after that, I found myself literally in fear for my life, as they literally started spewing hatred and vitriol concerning both the historical and the contemporaneous treatment of Native Americans by my ancestors and by my white peers. And one of many crazy aspects to that crazy situation was that I had just recently read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee by Dee Brown. And so, I could not even blame them. But fortunately, they ran out of gas. And when one of them left on foot to go get some, the other two immediately passed out, thus providing me with an opportunity to make my getaway. Yes, after living a life like I led, I have a lot of stories. For instance, back in 1973, I did a hitchhiking tour of the Deep South, accompanied by a lady friend named Julie. Now, during that trip, we almost got busted for pot in New Orleans, and we escorted a 17-year-old girl home from Florida to Kentucky. And during that same trip, we also got a ride because a guy wanted to purchase a walk-in freezer at a going-out-of-business auction in Santa Rosa, New Mexico. And the gentleman hired us to help him loading this big freezer onto his truck. The guy had also hired a local kid who was also there to help him load. During the course of the auction, this kid informed us that the entire auction was totally rigged. And before the auction even started, the kid pointed out to us all the players. And then during the course of the auction, The kid predicted exactly what was going to happen. And he told us who was going to buy what before that who did indeed buy that what. And the craziest thing about the situation was that the kid said the seller also knew full well what was going on, but there was nothing he could do about it. Then there was the time I got a ride with Outlaw Mark. It turned out that Mark Pollock had successfully escaped 16 times out of 21 attempts from various penal institutions. And that Mark Pollock was in fact an escaped convict when he and a friend, whose name I have forgotten, picked me up at the crack of dawn one morning in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The first thing I noticed was that Mark was a man dressed as a woman. Early morning light and a razor stubble was the main giveaway. And at that time, which was around 1981, give or take a year or two, all those years kind of meld together sometimes, but cross-dressing was still something of a novelty at that time. Okay, I said to myself, this should be interesting. Could you see him selling tickets where the buzzard circles over? The body on the plane. Rarely did you understand the music. Have I made the larger understatements to myself or to anyone else for that matter. So step back on the club again. Mark's friend immediately explained to me, these are the pros and cons of Pitchhiking, that they had just escaped from the same truck stop where I had just eaten my breakfast. And he further explained that said hasty departure was necessitated by the fact that Mark had been pretending to be a female prostitute, and then he had absconded with a truck driver's wallet, and then he had run away before the driver discovered that Mark was not exactly what he appeared to be. So at the time that Mark and his friend picked me up, I had just got done driving all night, whilst the owner of the car had slept in the back seat, and I was in something of a reality daze. However, as Mark's friend's words slowly pierced my reality daze into conscious comprehension, my conscious comprehension immediately elevated and sharpened by several orders of magnitude in frank astonishment. I call Mark a he because he was not transgender. He viewed his accoutrement as a disguise rather than as a sexual identity. Possibly there is more to it, but whatever. Another thing about Outlaw Mark, as far as sexual identities went, was that he had a small army of women back home in Ohio who obviously adored our cross-dressing hero. For Mark, had an entire album full of pictures of himself with numerous spectacularly beautiful women who were draped all over him as he was dressed in his feminine garb. And according to both Mark and to the newspaper accounts, many of these ladies had helped Mark with various aspects of some of his various escapes. Now, Mark's original conviction had been for possession of marijuana. All of his subsequent charges, including a conviction carrying a sentence of several years in prison, were all for escape, further escapes, and escape from previous escapes that he had already escaped from. Mark explained that he kept escaping because he hated being in jail. Can anyone really blame him? And amongst his escapes was one from an Ohio State maximum security facility. No mean feat. Mark had newspaper clippings to back all of his claims, and one of the articles, the writer for the Toledo Blade wondered to what legitimate uses Mark's Houdini-like skills could have been utilized had he not been criminalized because he smoked pot. I recently tried to find that article again online, but I was unable to. The Toledo Blade's online archives don't go back that far, meaning I probably need to physically go to Toledo, Ohio, and there's probably no guarantee even then. But whatever. During that part of my life, I often spent weeks hitchhiking around the country, just going wherever whoever happened to pick me up happened to be going. When it comes to road adventures, I could go on for hours. On a point that is slightly related to all of this, I recently learned that parents can face legal repercussions if they allow their children to go out in public without supervision. I learned of this when I read a story about a mother whose custody of her 10 and 8-year-old daughters was being threatened because she had allowed them to walk by themselves to a park that was 2 blocks from their home. Wow. When I was a kid, running around in public without supervision was all that we frigging did all day, every day. Whenever we weren't in school, we were running around the neighborhood pretty much all the time. And if I ever left the audio range of the whistle that my stepmother used to summon me, then the rule was that I had to inform my stepmother that I was going somewhere. Whereupon she simply told me what time I was to be home. And otherwise, I pretty much went anywhere that I wanted to go, pretty much any time that I wanted to go there. And frankly, I cannot imagine having to grow up in any other manner. Yes, I spent my childhood mostly engaged either playing with other kids or in exploratory adventures. If kids aren't even allowed to walk 2 blocks to the friggin' park these days, then I guess that explains a lot of other things about a lot of other things as well. My guess is that it is very hard to grow up under such conditions and retain much of a sense of life as an adventure and or any sense that while sometimes taking crazy chances can sometimes exact heavy costs, it can also sometimes provide crazy benefits. And kids will eventually figure all of that out if they don't have some freaking adult constantly hovering over them. Yes, it seemed that back in the day, wandering kids on adventures and hitchhikers on adventures used to be everywhere. But now, kids can't even walk to the friggin' park alone. And I virtually never see anyone hitchhiking anymore. I find these changes in our society to be both sad and alarming. I think I've seen a lot more of this world than the vast majority of my fellow humans, and I can guarantee you that our world is not nearly as dangerous as all of you have been led to believe. You should get out and have some adventures. So we're going to take a quick station break now. We'll be back in a minute.